initiate the call. That's the problem. So.
It looked like it was already in session to me.
Yeah, that was because someone else had started the call, but that not me.
Yeah, we always need to let Mike do the call.
Absolutely.
That's a good lesson in authority. It's a good lesson in authority.
That's so he can record it and everything.
All right, well, it's great to see you anyway. Does anyone want to start something today?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I just want to give like a testimony of what kind of I've been going through the past 4 or 5 weeks. Basically what I did is I kind of took a sabbatical from input. There's so much information out there, and this may help somebody else. There's so much information out there about how to do things, how to walk in things, how to advance, and it was like almost like there was like overload going in my resonator. You know, it's like I wasn't able to filter things. So I just took about 4 weeks, maybe not quite 4 weeks, off, and just kind of let my whole being kind of just settle. It wasn't good for me because I was so used to kind of keep my encouragement going, because again, I'm not a natural seer, and so I have to strive for this. Same time, God's teaching me about, you know, rest, and just got to enter into my rest, and you gotta quit working at this and enter into this. And so, and I'm still learning, but it was really, towards the end, it really helped, because I was starting to just kind of find my own way again. You know, before I met you, God was kind of taking me on this journey, and he was leading me and guiding me and showing me things. And then when I met you, it started coming, you know, about Justin Abraham, Ian Clayton, you know, Millie Bennett. I could name lots of them who are walking in this. They all have their own experiences, and yet sometimes we hear others' experiences, and I don't necessarily try to emulate them, but they almost become this obstacle that you have to try to, or this goal that you have to try to achieve. And so I guess you could say I'm doing better now, and I'm going to slowly really pray about what I listen to, you know, what I you know, for lack of a better term, engage with, and continue to pursue the Lord through again, for me, it's communion. It's been a long time. I don't want to say stuck in communion, because it's unraveling things in me. It's opening up my heart. That's why I probably didn't talk the last couple of times, because I'm still kind of in that state. I was listening, but I didn't really want to communicate that yet. So that's where I was.
Okay, great. Okay, well, I mean, I think it's a good lesson for people to engage in, because ultimately everything that we're looking to do is just a doorway that then people have to experience themselves. That's why these pathways have to become personal pathways, and they're very unique to every individual. We just want to open a door so people can just step in. I mean, I think when you're like, well, I'm trying to activate my imagination. No, your imagination just begins to see the door. Whatever's on the other side of the door, or whatever comes through the door, is not something that you are actually actively trying to create. You're just creating the door by focusing on the scripture or the truth or whatever it might be that becomes the doorway into something, which then becomes whatever it is, you know, and that's not something. That's why, you know, I try not to be too descriptive in any sort of exercises, because I don't want people trying to see what I'm seeing, just actually trying to find what it is that they can engage in and they can see. And it is a key to be in a place of rest. I mean, that is the key. If we're not in that place of rest, then we will be trying to work for it. Now, there's a degree where you have to pursue, but pursuing something is very different than trying to work for it, and coming to that place of rest is a great place to be. You know, the pathways that God has for us, we do have to find for ourselves. You know, yes, there will be engagement with many places in heaven and different things, but they are personal and they need to become that way. That means we get our own testimony. You know, that testimony then we can use to help others, which may not relate to my testimony or other people's testimonies, but will relate to someone's testimony, and that will begin to unlock for them a way of entrance and engagement. So I think it's a really good thing, and I would encourage everybody to only do what the Spirit is leading you to do. That's the key to everything. You know, if we join ourselves to Him in communion, in fellowship, in relationship, in you know, 1 Corinthians 6:17, being joined to the Lord, we become one Spirit, and then we can be led by the Spirit. You know, that's my first point in the day, every day, is to engage God in my spirit through the first love gate and then just see where I'm led. You know, and that's different every day. You know, so it's never a ritual or a routine or a rut, because every day I just want to embrace the presence of God, and then I yoke myself to Jesus. So where are we going? You lead. You direct. You show me what you want me to see. And yeah, I want to present myself before you so you can use me. But wherever that takes me, then I want to follow. And so it is a personal walk and a personal relationship. Sometimes God has told me to do things every day. And so I do them every day until He tells me not to. Because I guess, you know, when He wants me not to do that anymore, whether I've learned enough from it, then He'll show me something else. And the other day I was engaging in a place and God said, "Why are you hanging around here? Come up here." And I was like, okay. So you've hung around here long enough. You know what you're doing. You don't need to spend any more time here. You just need to come with me. So I thought, okay, great. So I've spent more time in the place where He took me than I was spending in the place where I used to spend time in, because He showed me something and then I followed Him. And I think that's the key. We just need to follow and be led by the Spirit, you know, and wherever that is. You know, that's why I struggle with some of the joint exercises that I see online, because I think they're encouraging people to try and follow what someone else is doing and seeing, and then trying to picture what they're seeing and enter into it, rather than, okay, let's step in, let's let Jesus lead and see where he takes us. Great. Rather than, oh, well, let's all go up this corridor and down here and around here and through this door and out through there. And I think that, to me, is, well, people will end up trying to go to a place that God may not want them to be. And so it's better just to follow the leading of the Spirit in that, so that you can be in the place God wants you to be. So, you know, yeah, if anyone is struggling with that or is struggling, then, you know, taking a place of rest is a good thing to do, you know, and you know, everything has to flow out of rest. You know, the seat of rest and the seat of government of our life is where everything flows, and it only comes from the place of God being invited to be on that seat, you know, so that we can enter in and live from that place of rest, because we're in a relationship of trust with Him. So, yeah, so that's great. Good.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay.
So, yeah. I'd like to add something to that.
Yeah, okay, go on.
Because I've been encountering some of the newer people that are in the beta group and that I'm mentoring, and that really coming against that, I don't know how to put it, I guess learning from a man, like we do in church and have forever, and learning from the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that is being broken, because I'm finding that I had an example with a girl Sunday night, and she says, well, she just started the beta group and she loves it, and she's, I've been listening and listening and listening and listening and listening and listening, you know, and I'm like, whoa, you know, get off the listening train, you know, and just, it's almost like, it's kind of weird, you kind of get in this striving thing where if I listen enough, we'll become one or something. And so I was, as she was talking to me, I'm like, wow, she's listening, but there's no fruit. So I was trying to figure out what was going on, and just realizing that starting from the place of intimacy, you almost have to back the cart up. People have been in church for so long, being taught, being fed for so long, that it's almost like, I don't know that I'm one. And so I've been encountering that like in the last week or 10 days, and just kind of puzzled by it.
Yeah.
And how to actually, you know, I almost just say, well, you just need to go where you're seated and learn your oneness. So it's a little puzzling to me.
Okay. Well, I think there's two things to say in it. Yeah, there's sort of background information that people need to know to give them a framework to start with. And so listening to background information and getting a sort of, we're on the same sort of page because I've heard this, it's not so new that I don't understand what's being said, that's fine. But the reality is, and I've always said, this is not a race, which is a sprint, it's a marathon. And you don't get any points for finishing all the listening first before anybody else. Actually, it has to become a lifestyle of living it and being able to hear God, see him, do what he's showing, and outworking that intimacy and oneness. But, you know, there's a lot of religious conditioning over the years that is all looking for approval from what we do and looking to be affirmed. Well, great, you've listened to all that. And it's like, and, you know, people said, well, I've gone through all the materials. So I said, well, how much of it are you living? How much of it is a daily life? How many times have you practiced that? Well, I just did it once. You know, it took me years to develop that exercise and live it out. And you're not going to do it by doing it once. You know, it takes time to train and retrain our senses, and it's the experiential engagements which are the knowing which is the truth. The problem is it's the Greek mentality of knowing by intellectual understanding rather than by personal encounter and experience, and that's what we're up against. You know, we are up against that, and in being up against that, it is difficult because you're wanting people to engage and open up the revelation that's there, but not to be caught in the same old patterns. If I listen to this and agree, everything will be okay. Or if I start confessing it, then it will be all right. No, we have to experience it, and that takes the coming to a place of rest. I'm going to relax and just open this experience for God to speak to me, or for him to show me something, or to learn how to meditate, rather than just learn how to gather information. But it's difficult because you have to give some information. But that's why I try and do exercises. But the initial modules are very much more background information without the exercises. So if I was going to mentor someone myself in this, I would tell them to go and listen to the background information, but I would start with them on the practical stuff where there are videos and there are exercises, rather than, you know, try and help someone through all the background information. It is just stuff which will hopefully give a platform or a foundation that other things can be more easily understood, but it's the exercises of engagement that are the key in everything. Otherwise, it just is, well, I'm listening to this, but I've got no personal experience of it. And you're never going to get personal experience unless you stop and practice and activate your spirit and activate your senses and begin to learn how to see and to hear and to engage. And that isn't going to come by listening to the teaching. It's going to come by entering into the experiences that leads into. So, you know, I would encourage people to begin practicing the exercises and just use the background material as a source of getting people into the same sort of a level of, well, at least I've heard this, I may not have experienced it, but I know what he's talking about because I've heard him talk about this, and we're talking about inheritance. And some of it is, you know, what is this about? It's about becoming a Joshua generation, so you need to understand a little bit about what that is. But you're not going to become a Joshua generation by listening to the teaching on the Joshua generation. You're going to do it by being a royal priesthood and engaging in the realms of heaven, you know, and engaging with the Spirit in our own heart and life. So, yeah, I mean, I can understand that.
Yeah, you just described me to a D, Mike. That's my whole background, that I was spiritually strong by how much I knew and how much I could mentally apply, you know, and help others. And it seems like it had fruit in its day. But I was telling somebody, it feels like the manna has stopped. It feels like what worked is no longer, at least for me, what worked no longer works at all anymore. And that this is the new horizon that God is putting before us. And if we choose to stay where we're at, it's only going to get drier, and we're going to become more and more putrid, and you know, life's going to continue to beat us up, and we're not going to become what he's calling us to be, because it requires this next step, I believe.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely so. And you know, as we're transitioning from the old to the new, the old stops working, usually before the new is fully formed, so that you can't go to what isn't working, and you have to pursue going deeper into the revelation and the experience of what's coming and pursue it. And you know, and I think that's what God is doing. It's just people who are caught up in the old try and actually drink new wine in an old wineskin, and it doesn't work. You know, the old structures you have to begin to let go of to embrace the new. And you know, realizing that there's no brownie points for anybody. You know, this is not about how quickly or whatever. It's just having an intimate relationship with God. That's God's desire, intimacy, relationship, and everything will flow out of that. And you can't have an intimate relationship without spending the time and being open and honest and transparent. You know, and you know, my encouragement to anyone starting out in this, I think you can probably use Psalm 23 as the basis of most people's personal, you know, encounters, because it's got everything in that psalm you need, you know. And I think God would want us to enter into the revelationary truth of being in intimate relationship with the Shepherd, having Him restore our soul by us lying down and letting Him, rather than trying by self-effort. And you know, and you know, God honors in the past our ignorance, if you like. You know, I mean, I look back and how I tried to renew my mind, and you know, using Revelation 12 and confessing the truth and speaking it out and putting little notes up, and it was like, did that do any good? Yeah, it did, but limited amount, you know. But God did honor the fact that I didn't know any better. And it still did have a positive effect. But now I know better, I don't do that anymore. I'm not actually looking to confess something as a parrot to try and believe it so that my life will be in alignment with it. You know, I need to go and see it. I need to go and see Him. You know, I need to go and look back in what it looks like in Him so that the image that I get will enable me to become that as I behold it and experience Him in it. You know, I don't do a load of things that I used to do, and that was my journey of going from that place of where, you know, I was desperate to become transformed to the place where I allowed Him to transform me. So I didn't need to do anything. I just need to surrender and cooperate with whatever He did. And I think that's the sort of the place of relationship that God wants to draw people. But there, of course, there are a lot of traps and sort of religious mindsets and deception. You know, it's like we can have the veil removed of our sin so that we can enter into salvation. And unfortunately, most of us immediately get a religious veil put over us that puts us back into deception. And most of us have lived in that deception, trying to earn God's favor, trying to do things for him, working hard, being good stewards. Great, but actually that only was so that he could see who wants to follow him into sonship. You know, yeah, I learned a lot being a good steward, but I've learned so much more being a friend. You know, the friendship and the intimacy has done so much more than me trying to steward his resources and what he's called me to do faithfully, but that's the limit. It's only designed to take us into friendship. You know, because God isn't going to give friendship to people who are not willing to follow him. You know, so there are tests, there are trials that we go through, there are things that we have to overcome, and our willingness to overcome them and to rejoice in it and grow through the relationship brings us to a point where friendship is where everything gets disclosed. And it's the disclosing of things where he says, you know, I'm no longer going to call you servants or slaves. You know, you are now friends, and I disclose things to friends. I reveal things to friends in a completely different way than giving instructions to the steward. You know, because that's what I used to receive, a load of instructions. And were they what God wanted me to do? Absolutely. Because I didn't have a relationship that would cope with anything more than instructions at that point in time. But once I followed that and then went into relationship and friendship, then I get to hang out with him and I get to experience what it's like to be joined to him and doing things together with him and actually living a life with him rather than him giving me a set of instructions and me being obediently trying to follow them, sometimes being really good at it and sometimes not being really good at it. Whereas in relationship, it's totally different. You know, I have a relationship with him which I can just talk to him and share with him, and he shares with me. But now he's sharing his heart, and he's trusting me to do things from a position of trust, knowing his heart, rather than, oh, here's a set of instructions, do A, B, C, D, E, and that will be okay. Now he's saying, here's my heart, you outwork this, because you know my heart. You can do it your way, because did it my way independently, but do it the way I created you to be, joined to my heart, so that I trust you to be sons. You're a joint heir, you're an heir of God, and I now trust you because I've seen that you are faithful, and you are my friend, and I'm revealing myself to my friends. And now it's a totally different dynamic. You know, I don't have to work for God or try and please him or try and do all those things. I just long to be in a relationship of love in which everything I do will bring him glory. That is just a totally different dynamic. You know, and I found that in actual fact, everything now feels like being one. You know, when I was going through the process of learning all this stuff, it was like, well, I separated it out. I need to understand my spirit. I need to understand my soul. I need to understand my body. I need to understand how they work and relate to God and how things flow through them. Now it's like my spirit and soul and body have become unified and whole, and they just do things. It's no longer a separate thing. Everything flows. I'm no longer thinking about, well, what's my spirit doing? Most of the time, my spirit is engaged in the realm of heaven, and my soul is fully flowing from that place here. Because I don't step in and step out. You know, I learned to step in and step out because I was trying to learn and understand what it is to engage there and bring that here now, because I wasn't connected with my spirit and soul. My spirit was connected, but my spirit and soul still had a disconnect. Now my spirit encompasses my soul and body and creates an atmosphere around me. Then I am actually living in that realm of the kingdom because my spirit is actually operating from the realm of heaven and everything flows from that. So I very rarely make a cognitive decision when it comes to spiritual things. I don't think about what I should do, what I shouldn't do. I just don't think. I just act as my spirit directs, and my soul just completely is in cooperation. It's a completely different feeling. You know, and I've just sort of really been reflecting over the last few months where I am, and having spent so much time engaging with intimacy and first love, how the benefits of that have just brought unity, wholeness, and oneness in me, that things just function, you know? And they used to function when I directed them to function. Now they just seem to function, and they just seem to flow, because I'm connected. So I can be in heaven, and I can be here, completely one. And, you know, it's the principle of quantum entanglement. Scientifically, my spirit can be separated by a dimension or billions of miles, but can be completely instantly connected, because that's what's happening. I am connected, spirit and soul being one, with heaven and earth, bringing heaven and earth into alignment. And it feels so different. You know, it feels such a different just life, really. You know, I mean, you still like pray in tongues. It's like, okay, I'm going to pray in tongues. I just find myself doing things, you know, without having ever thought about it. You know, I sometimes find myself praying in tongues. It's like, oh, because my tongue just obeys my spirit. You know, I didn't have to go through the cognitive process of, I will choose to pray in tongues right now, because my worship and my choice are in alignment. Because my choices just want to serve him and worship him. So I choose that which will edify, and I never thought about it. It's just my spirit and choice are completely in one, and therefore I'm praying in tongues and doing stuff, and it happens with lots of things, you know, which I it never used to be like that, but that has developed and grown out of the friendship and intimacy that we need to see flow, you know. And it just spending time in the presence of God. I mean, that is the key. Whether it's in my spirit, whether I'm going to engage where he is, whether I'm in both, it's just in that place of being at rest. You know, I can be in the green pasture lying down and the Lord is doing the work. The throne of grace to find help is me relaxing and enjoying his presence and allowing him to get on dealing with all the help that needs doing. I don't have to try and figure out, well, what do you want me to do to sort this problem out? I go and give him the problem, and it's like, I'm going to rest in peace and just put my head on your breast and have intimacy with you, and actually you're already at work. It's only when I take my hands off the situation and let him do it that the situation gets solved. And I find myself saying things that I never thought about, you know, particularly, it's like this morning we were meeting as our bench of three, and we have some things that we're looking to do, and I immediately just find myself saying, we need to do this, 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 and this. And I never, ever thought about it before. You know, never even crossed my mind that we should do these things. And they were like, yeah, we should. And because they just totally resonated, because it was something that just comes straight out of heaven. We didn't need to step into heaven, because actually I was already there in my spirit. So totally connected, and they absolutely just resonated with that. And I find that's what's beginning to take place more and more. It is just being rather than trying to do. And everything flows from the relationship rather than for the relationship. I'm not trying to do something for this relationship. You know, I'm not trying to, well, I'm going to do this, then this relationship will be better. I don't need to do anything for the relationship. The relationship's already established in him. I just have to rest in it. You know, now that is just so much in terms of liberty than I've ever experienced before. And I thought what I was experienced before was really great. You know, this is just another dimension of awesomeness with the relationship with God. You know, but we do have to face that people are in places where they're still in bondage to particular religious frameworks, mindsets, old order things that God is bringing them out of. And sometimes there's a wandering around the wilderness to actually identify what those things are. And God will do it, and we can help. You know, we can help the process with people by not condemning them or trying to get frustrated with them. Because I mean, I used to get frustrated with some people here. It was just like, you know, how many times are you going to go around this mountain before you get it? You know, but actually, I need to help them. It's no point getting frustrated. A culture of honor says, how can I help? How can we find the solution to this situation so that you can be who you are? You know, and you know that's taken a while for me to learn patience and in that. But you know, the more we're walking in it, the easier it is to see and identify those things that have the smell of religion on them. You know, it's just a really bad smell. You know, and I can smell it. You know, but if we carry the fragrance of God, then we can overcome that bad smell. And, you know, it's like spraying a nice deodorizing smell if we carry the fragrance of God, you know, and that hopefully will show the difference between the two, you know. But, yeah.
Can I say something? I'm finding that... what you're talking about in some of the people that I'm mentoring, the line that they cross over, that when they have sight, there's a kind of a sorrow of, well, we wasted all those years doing it this way, and now I got to relearn everything. You know, there's this kind of weird, even religiousness about that, where it's like it's kind of strange, because I'm just encountering that a lot in the last week, and so you talking about it, I haven't really, I'm just like, I'm sorry, I don't really quite know, because I don't want to press into their sorrow. I want them to get over it, you know. I want them to sing the Let It Go song and move on.
But I think if it's all seen as a journey, and we wouldn't have got where we are now without going through all that. You know, the revelation wasn't there. You know, what we're actually experiencing now, and the things, and the revelation that's been open, wasn't there 20 years ago. I mean, I had encounters 20 years ago that I'm only now having an unveiling of what they were about. Because there was just no grid, no reference point for any of it, but it wasn't wasted. You know, it's all the journey of me, and I look back and think, yeah, I wouldn't do it that way now, but I needed to do that there to get me to here. You know, you can't go from A to Z. You have to go through the other steps of the journey. And, you know, and I encourage people, don't bother looking back about what's happened. Just make sure you now walk in the revelation that now is available. So, you know, it's no point looking back. Yeah, it was what it was, and it's only in a sense that you then start to project or blame or feel condemned or guilty. A part of it is it's feeling, oh, this is wasted. Nothing is wasted in God. You know, me being a servant, a bond servant, and a steward was all part of my journey that God was looking for. Was I willing to surrender my life to serve him and to be obedient? And yes, some of it was a whole load of religious rubbish that was attached to it, but he was still looking at my heart. He was looking at my willingness even to serve somebody who was not really worthy to be served. But I did. You know, I've served people. I've you know, bent over backwards to be helpful to people. Some of it was actually I was looking for affirmation in the wrong place. Absolutely. You know, and you know, I have to deal with that. But actually the desire of my heart was, I want God. You know, I want to serve God's purpose. And even though I did it in ways which now I certainly wouldn't encourage anyone to do, it wasn't wasted and it was part of my journey. If I hadn't have been a good steward, I wouldn't have become a friend. Because you don't get from one to the other without actually going through those stages of where, hey, you can be free. I don't want to be free. I'm going to be a bond servant. You can drill my ear with an awl. It's like, you know, you can put a ring in it. I do not want to be free to do my own thing. And most of us have had that experience somewhere in our life where we had a choice. Do I want to walk this way? Actually, no, I don't want to be free. I know I can be free, but I don't want to. I want to serve you. Yeah, and then we get the stewardship resources released to us, and we get called into ministry, and we get called into the purposes of God, and we begin to faithfully administer them with the revelation that we've got. That's all we're responsible for, is to be faithful with the revelation we have and to continually looking to pursue following him. And it will get to the point where he is calling all of those who have been good stewards to be friends. And that call has been going for a long time. You know, I embraced that call in 1993 and embraced the intimacy of, hey, I want my church back, and I want relationship, because that's what God was saying, you know. And all these manifestations of weirdness and laughter and things which were just out there were all part of, hey, there's more. Do you want more? Are you willing to pursue me? And I've been on that journey forever, ever since, of just pursuing and, you know, looking for something that I knew I didn't have. You know, I totally relate to U2's song, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. I totally related. That was my whole journey that's got me to this point. Now I found it. You know, now I found what I was looking for. I was found it in that intimacy with God, but I pursued it all that time, knowing this isn't it, that isn't it, that isn't it, but there's got to be it. And I want it, so I'm willing to pursue it until I find it. Now, I've actually found it. And it's a joy and a delight that was worth all the discipline that came out of the desire that I had. You know, I had a desire, but I was only following that desire that led me on this journey, you know. And if I tried to pursue this stuff, you know, I went up in a mountain in 1993. Went up a mountain, had an amazing encounter in a vision of a mountain, but could not remember anything other than the fact that I went up a mountain. Because my spirit received it, but my soul had no grid of reference from the things that I was seeing. Because every point I stopped on that mountain, and I kept stopping on that mountain and looking out, and it was like, wow. And I remember a thing, wow. And then having no memory of it. You know, and you know, about 6 months ago, God took me back and showed me each of those wows, what they were, as my testimony of opening up, being able to hear the voice of God, being able to meditate, learning to listen and see and to engage. Those were all the wows, but back then, I didn't have a grid, you know. But I don't see any of it as wasted. You know, it was my journey, it is my testimony, and everyone's got their own. Don't look back in a negative way. You see it as, hey, I'm going to rejoice that this has got me where I am. And therefore, there are many people who I now would struggle with their teaching and everything else, but they were all part of my journey, and I honor them for the things that they revealed actually have got me here. Now I wouldn't do any of the things that they probably taught, but I embraced some of that, and that took me further on my journey, and I honor them. You know, and I desperately want those people to come and see, hey, there's more. You know, and there's so much more for all of us in friendship and intimacy. You know, and, you know, over the last number of years here with a group of people in the area, you know, I've looked to share some of my life with them and encourage them and whatever, and most of them have just been too busy. Just too busy being good stewards to stop and say, give space for God and become intimate with him when he's called them. And it's a sorrow. You know, I have a sorrow in my heart for those people, because they've been given an opportunity and they've not taken it as yet, because they've been too caught up in the being a good steward and doing all the stuff they need to do to enter into that another level of friendship that God is calling us to. I mean, it's the deep calling to deep. You know, the sound has been coming out of heaven for many, many years, and some people have heard it and followed it, and others are now hearing it and are following it, and then those who first heard it are now releasing their own sound that will help people follow it. You know, so that's where we are on it, which we're the place where we should be. Yeah, that's the thing about this. This is all part of God's journey. We can't be where we're not. You know, and there's no point even trying to be where you're not. You just have to be where you are and then continually follow the journey as it goes.
You know? Just a word.
Yep.
Go back, just a reflection on a few minutes ago, and not to repeat what you said, but every new level that we come into, it's as if we became a child again, and we have to learn new language, and that's the first thing I noticed when I came into this group and also with Mike Lindell. There's a language with every new revelation, and so that's part of the instruction time. In those early days, we have to learn what our fathers are saying and understand that. And obviously at some point then we're released to be who we are. But back to the example a few months ago when I came across your old video of how to, and I followed that. That example helped me step into the realm. I needed that. I didn't have any framework, so I needed that instruction. I needed to do that. And I was going to tell you that you were giving that example of being on the beach and seeing Jesus come towards you and right in the sand. And it was kind of exciting to me that he said the same thing to me. He said to you, I love you. And, you know, you said that's what he said to you. And then he did that to me before you said that. So I thought, wow, that's cool. I'm in the groove, you know. But that example is we need to have those type of instructions. And I was listening to Ian Clayton the other day, and he says, don't follow me. Follow your own thing. And I'm sitting here listening. I said, wait a minute, bud. I'm here following you. Well, I knew the point. It was kind of funny, though. You know, I'm listening to him, following him, and he said, "Hey, don't follow me. Follow the Spirit." But I just wanted to feed that back because I often use the illustration: a baby in the crib is beautiful and cute, but you don't want to see an 18-year-old in the crib with his hairy legs hanging over the side. You know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate, you know, all those times where, you know, God has used somebody or used a book in my life that has just opened up an understanding. I mean, that's what God did for me. He used books all through my journey. You know, I remember the first book that really had an impact on my life as a teenager was The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. I read that book and it's just like, what? And now I think back and think, but it was part of my journey. And in, like, you know, baptism and the Spirit was just a part of my journey. And I read, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning by Dennis and Rita Bennett. And it was just like, what? And all of a sudden it was just like, my spirit was just like, yeah, you got to get this, you know, and all the way, you know, God has just dropped things along my path that have spurred me on or encouraged me just to pursue that there's more. And you know, it's great, you know, to hear, you know, what some of the things I've done have helped certain people, which is great. And I'm sure there are so many different people who are putting things out that will relate to different ways and different things, so that we can be in that place where God's wants us to be, you know, on the journey, following the journey, engaging Him, and experiencing more and more of our inheritance and who we are in Him as we continue to follow. And sometimes on that time you do have to take a rest, you know. And I think, you know my rest was a 4-month rest in one sense, where it was just like, well, actually no, you're going to be in darkness for 4 months. I learned more in that period in terms of myself and what it was that was coming and the need for where I needed to be than I did in having loads of heavenly encounters, because when they were removed, it suddenly showed me where my soul was at in relation to where my spirit was. You know, and I found my soul needed to know and needed to be actively involved in that process in a way which was not healthy. And a lot of my inquisitiveness and wanting to find out what was going on here and go to there and go to there was actually a function of my soul. And now it isn't like that. You know, and I look back and think, okay, that was the turning point in my life. I mean, you know, I have many turning points, but I can remember, you know, I can remember standing in worship on a Sunday morning and having this scroll unveiled in front of my eyes. And it was like all my life flashed in front of my eyes up until this point. And on the scroll was just a flame, a blue flame. And after it, it was like I knew everything would be different. I just knew. Once I'd encountered this blue flame, everything would be different. Now, I didn't even know what the blue flame was. I mean, it was just, this is something that's going to happen. I didn't know what it meant. I just knew it was going to happen. And when I, then God spoke to me and took me into sort of the darkness over the next few weeks, okay, to come into this dark cloud, you know, I immediately thought, hey, I'm going to get to see God. You know, I mean, I knew what the dark cloud was. I wasn't frightened of it. It was just like, how do I get through this? You know, it was just thick, and how do I get through it? But I knew I was going to see God, and I knew, hey, that's the encounter. That is going to change everything. But when I look at the three and a half months, whatever it took, to get me to that point where I was able to go through that dark cloud, man, that was the hardest time in my life. You know, and I've had a lot of hard times when I look back and see some of the things that have happened in my life, but that was a really, really difficult time. But without it, I wouldn't be doing anything I'm doing now. I seriously wouldn't, because I would have not been at a place where my soul was in a place of surrender and trust. And everything changed from the fact that I was not needing God to do anything in my life to demonstrate that he loved me. I knew that he loved me, and I trusted him, irrespective of whether he did or didn't do anything. And I knew that he trusted me in the same way. Now, if I never did another thing for him, it would make no difference to my relationship with him, because he loves me. You know, now that just was a liberating point that I had to get to, so that my soul and spirit could begin to work together and become one, because my soul surrendered. You know, it surrendered. Now, I thought I'd surrendered before many, many times, you know, but this was a whole different level of surrender, which changed everything. And everything has changed as a result of it. And I believe a lot of people will get burning bushes and experiences like that that will be life-changing, because it will deal with the soul, you know. And that's, you know, that's the soul's our biggest problem, you know. But it should be our biggest asset, because it contains all the things we need to be able to engage with ourselves and the world around us, you know. And without spirit and soul being together in unity, we can't do all those things. You know, without our body just happily going along for the ride, which it does now, you know, because the body just does whatever it's directed to do, you know, which is, you know, when I say, you know, I'm just sometimes just praying in tongues, it's like my tongue wasn't told to do that by my soul. It just did it because we're all now working together. But that is an ongoing process for all of us of continual transformation. But sometimes there are points on that journey where you have to stop, and God makes us lie down in green pastures so he can restore our soul. It's very difficult to restore your soul when you're running around trying to do stuff all the time. It just is, you know. And therefore, then you can live from a place of being lying down in green pastures when you're doing all sorts of things, because it's an attitude and an experience of life and of the spirit, rather than something I do. It's now who I am. I am lying down in green pasture. That is my identity. I'm lying down in green pasture because I'm in a place of rest. You know, and there could be a 200 mile an hour tornado going round and round and round around me, but I'm in the eye of the storm, not affected by it, because I'm lying down in green pasture. And he's doing whatever, and he sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So there might be all these things going around me, but actually I have all that I need in spite of that, because I'm in a place of rest. You know, rather than, well, how do I solve this problem? How do I deal with this? Do I need to stop this storm? But that has taken, you know, quite a time to get to that point. But I love it now. I mean, you know, and I would not shortcut any of the stepping stones on that, because I know they're all valuable. You know, they're all part of my journey and my testimony, which is great. You know. Okay. Anyway, anyone else want to share something or ask something?
Yeah, I'm encouraged to hear that, all that you've just shared, because the Lord is showing me something, you know, started kind of, the light came on with some things when I started realizing certain things that I do that I don't want to do, you know, that whole arrangement of things. And I look back and I go, what is going on here? And I'm like, you know, it could be something silly like like up at 1 a.m. raiding the cupboards for chocolate or something, you know, and the next day, I mean, I know it sounds silly, but I'm going, you know, that's not, you know, there's many other examples, but I go, that's not, I'm like, I was sharing with my wife yesterday, I was like, man, I felt, you know, almost out of control, if you will, and different things that go on, and the relationship between the spirit and the soul, which you've shared, reminds me of a marriage relationship in the way that, that, you know, you can go at one another, or you can learn to use, you know, each other's differences to build a stronger relationship, and having your soul subject to your spirit, and on. So I'm just like going, all right, Lord, thank you. This has been a great blessing to hear that. I wanted to say this, or ask you. You shared in one of your teachings about your having a strong spirit.
Yeah.
Do you recall what I'm talking about?
Remind me.
Well, I know you've got a few of them out there. Yeah. Golly, I just can't remember. You talked about having a strong spirit and having to deal with something, but I don't know. I'm sorry. I just can't recall. But the Lord was reminding me of it, because I'll go back and find it and listen. And he was reminding me of like Hebrews 4:12 and how this conversation applies, you know, how that applies to this.
Yeah.
And possibly Romans 7. I'm not sure. I'm going to go read it. But at any rate, I'm encouraged to hear that. So thank you.
Mike, can I say something real quick?
Yeah, sure.
You were talking about the spirit and the soul and the body. Mm-hmm. Well, just this morning I was taking communion, and something just came out of me, kind of like you said. It just happened. And I was praying for the resequencing of my body's DNA, but then I started praying for the resequencing of my soul's DNA, and then even my spirit. And God was showing me that they all had origins in Him mm-hmm. that had become corrupted, and that He wanted to... And then that's when listening today, the revelation of that the oneness with Him has to, almost we have to get this oneness with us before we come in full harmony. And, well, what an eye-opener. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, for me, this really began to really get in a deeper understanding when, you know, I wanted to sort of think, okay, we need to do first love. How do we do first love? How do we open a first love gate? You know, my intention was, okay, here's a session. We'll just do one session. And as soon as I started to think about that, whenever I opened that gate and just, he just would not let me go. It was like, no, you need to stay here. It was like, now know me, because you're still. Because, you know, we all have a thing built in that we like to do stuff, even if it's good God stuff. I mean, you know, what I wanted to do was go and get my mandate for the day and find out what God wanted me to do and then frame my day and do what I need to do in heaven so that the favor of God will be released onto the earth. All good stuff. And it was like, yeah, but you don't know me enough. You know, and I was like really surprised because it was like, well, how many times have I opened my first love gate every day? And you're saying, you don't really know what that means because you see it as an end of something else rather than the purpose of your life, intimacy and relationship with me. You see what I've called you to do as being something which in a sense, in essence, is that's what it's about. My destiny is what it's about. No, my destiny is relationship, of intimacy with him. And everything else is just a byproduct of me being intimate with him, because of course if I'm intimate with him, he will lead me and we'll do together those things that are part of bringing glory to him and everything else. So it was like, no, the Holy Spirit just embraced me. And one day I was like, I was just there being embraced and all these words just started to flow into my mind just of who the Holy Spirit was, my personal experience of him, just words. And then Jesus embraced me a few days later, and it was just like all these words just, and then the Father, and then God in three, and it was just like, wow. And all those words were like, and that is my experience, and that is what you want me to experience. Hey, I'm going to need to spend some time just being in an embrace to feel that frequency and engage with that truth and to know you. So he made me still. You know, it was just, to start with, it was almost frustrating, and it was like, well, what am I doing? Because that's part of the problem. I want to know what's this about. And all he did is, I want to hug. I mean, it's like my wife sometimes says, I don't want you to solve my problems. I just want you to listen and give me a hug. You know, and it's like, well, yeah, but I want to solve your problems. What, you know, well, you're still in it. No, I just want you to know what I'm feeling, you know. And it's like, we tend to be problem solvers. And it's like God says, I don't want you to be a problem solver. I want you to know me deeper and more intimately than you've ever known me before. And probably that lasted for about 3 or 4 months, you know, of every day. Embrace deeper, deeper. And then it was like, no, I want you then to come into me. So be baptized into me deeper and deeper. And it changed everything. And that's what really then developed into, now I really know him. Now I can know myself. And now I can begin to be one with him and me. And all this sort of the oneness of it began to manifest in a totally different way. That's sometimes God just does needs to do that. And I think, you know, where you started off, it's like, I just need to spend some time completely finding myself again with him, you know, is a good place to be. And sort of growing out of that intimacy that flows from that place is awesome. Yeah. So. Yeah, very good. Anyway, okay.